We're learning about Briti Shalom. When we look at the Ten Commandments that we got in El Sinai, and if you look at the side of that has to do with mitzvot, with the commandments we have to do with, not with us in front of Hashem, with other, in front of other people, regarding other people, we see that they're very, very strict, the commandments over there. It says, Lo tirzach, lo tignov, don't murder, don't steal, right? But it doesn't speak lengthy about it. It just says, don't steal, don't murder, don't do it. The last one, which is don't covet, is lengthy. It's long. Right? He says, Lo tachmod. What's it? It's just coveting. It's not murder. It's not stealing. It's just coveting. What's the big deal? Right? Why is it so out of thing?
Live yours.
And now that's what Rava was going to speak about right now. The order of the five last commandments are don't murder, don't tinaf, don't by the Haris
tinaf.
Tinaf, lo tinaf. Where's your... Give me your Tanakh. Say this. You should not kill. You should not commit adultery. That's not enough. You should not steal. You should not bear. What is it? Fail?
False
witness against your fellow. You shall not covet your fellow's house. You shall not covet your fellow's wife. His mess is...
Manservant?
I don't know what that is.
Slave.
Manservant. His maidservant, his ox, his donkey, nor anything that belongs to your fellow. Those are the last five. Okay? So you see, the longest one is the last one. Lo tachmod, don't covet. Yeah. Yeah. The first four is short. Short. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. And don't do a false testament. Right. It's horrible things. But the last one, which is talking about coveting, which is only something in the heart. No one even knows that you're coveting. Right. Only something in your heart. Okay. The Torah does not. The Torah doesn't keep back. It talks a lot about it. Don't covet your friend's house, your friend's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, all everything that belongs to him. Why is that? So, your friend's house, I understand. It's his own property. Right? Your friend's wife, I also understand. Why should you covet your friend's wife? It's his wife. His manservant and maidservant, It looks. If you look, it has nothing to do with our generation.
Employees, don't take your other person's employees.
Of the myth, right? It has very much to do with our generation, right? Regarding employees, like you said, regarding right, there's all kinds of things like that. If a person sees that this certain company has a good manager, so I'm gonna offer him triple the price of triple the salary. And he'll come to me, and he will, obviously, for the money, of course, money talks, blah, blah, blah. Yes? That's also part of not coveting. It's assume.
Maybe the reason the commandment about not coveting is so lengthy, because it leads to all the others.
Cholios, let's see. I don't know what the
coveting about. Can lead to a lot of bad things.
Coveting?
Uh-huh. It leads to theft. To cheating,
to murder,
or just about anything you can think of.
Okay. Coveting one's ox.
Coveting led to the first sin.
And did you mention
the eating of the eating of that, and then the murder?
Serpent. The serpent.
Yeah.
And
rape.
Say, Calvin, okay. When you take someone's donkey, you mean you don't have to take his donkey. You can take his car. You can take his job. Find a way, kiddo. I'm better than him. Is there? Take
like
me.
To Cuba.
Okay? And then afterwards, Torah also includes everything, and everything that belongs to your friend, don't covet. Yeah? So no one should have no mistakes. You can't covet anything that's not yours. Now, I was going to talk about this. From here we understand that this commandment of not to covet is the most important commandment, that it summarizes all the previous commandments. And the Maaseh, practically all the Dibrot, the whole Torah itself, Amash, is summarized by not coveting. And this is the explanation. Someone does not covet something that belongs to the other means that he really merits this place of happy in his portion. He's tamach b'chelka. He's happy in what he has. Right? He's definitely not going to reach murder. He's definitely not going to go and steal. He's not going to go and do commit immorality actions. Right? He's definitely not going to go and testify against someone falsely. He's kitzur, he doesn't get upset. He's always happy. He doesn't have bad meter. He's happy in his portion. Okay? Right, he believes what he has. He believes that everything is under supervision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has what he needs. Everything is the best that he needs. Like it's written before.
Okay. Interesting definition. He said, "Person, he doesn't understand how people do not have the feeling that something belongs to someone else has a wall of fire around it, and you can put your hand into it, can take, you get burned."
The story of the Kotzkel. That stuff were getting. He had an open house. Stuff were getting missing from the house. So the Rebbetzin said, "What's going on here? I don't understand. Everything's missing around here." So the Gabbai says, "Yeah, well, you have an open house. People are stealing." The Kotzkel heard this. He jumped out of his room. "Stealing? A Jew stealing? What are you talking about? A Jew cannot steal." I think it was a Kotzkel. I'm not sure the basis. Maybe it was one of the ghoul. But then a big rabbi, stealing a Jew? Can I steal a Jew? Don't say, no one stole. But unfortunately, we're not all tzaddikim yet. Kitsu, yeah, you should know that, bichlal, people who, even us, that we try to serve Hashem, we try to live with Hashem in our lives, and we hear Shiurim, and we read books, and we do Bodedut and everything. Anybody else, we have tests all the time, that sometimes we don't understand, we see people instead of seeing Hashem, and all kinds of stuff like that. Think about yourselves 10 years ago, 20 years ago, wherever you were. Think about other people in the world, right? And they're living life like this. Their whole life without Hashem. What kind of hell they're living in? Hell kipshuto. I heard now all kinds of stories recently. Even Haredi people, money is what leads people, and so sad to see it. So sad to see it. I don't want money. I don't want money. I hate money. I don't want. I need for pay bills. Fine, but said that way. That's not my goal in life. My goal is not to have money and be comfortable in life. That's not my goal in life. My goal is to serve Hashem. If money is part of the deal of this thing, I'm willing to work for it too. But that's not the goal. And I wish I see when people don't live like that. It's miskenut dola. It's like the Chazal teaches something very simple. Da'at kanita ma chasata. Da'at chasata ma kanita. If you acquire knowledge of Hashem, you're not lacking anything. If you're lacking knowledge of Hashem, what did you acquire in life? Go on this. Klum. My wife went to someone's house, she told me. And she opened the closet there. She was helping them out. And she sees the cupboard is full of pastas and all kinds of foods and this and that. And they have all kinds of everything in this. And they don't have Shalom Bayis. Mm-hmm. So she came home and she said, "I'm so happy that my cupboard is empty. The mold growing on the wall. And I don't have everything that they have, and I don't have a car, and I don't have a job that brings in a lot of money. But I have Shalom Bayis, and I have beautiful kids, and I. What's the main thing in life?"
I have three examples.
What's the main thing in life?
Well, I lived in Bnei Brak. We had a neighbor. They were wealthy. Wealthy.
Family?
Well, yeah, wealthy family. The walk in the apartment and you feel, smell, hear, well, see the wealth blasting in there. Shalom Bayit was a non-existent term.
Very sad.
To put it mildly.
Very sad. There's no life. There's no Hashem.
Howard Hughes, do you know the name?
Huh?
Howard Hughes was the wealthiest man in the world. Owned a chain, among many others, owned a chain of hotels. In his last years, he became paranoid about bacteria.
Bacteria?
Bacteria. Heidekim. So he took one of his hotels in one of the states in the United States.
Nevada.
In Nevada. Kept three floors for himself. He lived in the middle, lived in what I call living, alone in the middle of the three floors. The one
and
above,
naked.
A one before, were empty to keep him isolated from anybody else. The servant coming to his floor, the elevator had his key to get to that floor. He would come in like certainly like the kind of disposable clothing that's used in NASA the laboratories, bring him food on a tray, it was all wrapped, would spread a paper line to get to where his bed is, give the tray with disposable everything, and walk out on and gather the paper, because next thing he comes to get the tray back, it's a fresh thing of paper.
Okay.
Scared silly of getting some disease, a bacterial disease.
What, did he die from a bacterial
disease? He died from kidney failure.
His fingernails were this long.
Yeah.
He was mostly naked all the time.
Well, yeah. What year was this?
Oh, back was the 70s? Or
mid-70s.
It's a real story. You know
in,
this?
Vegas.
Heard of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's
famous. They heard of this at all?
They actually wrote him up in...
total.
They made him.
Yeah.
If you didn't get wisdom, what did you get? He was the richest man in the world, money-wise.
He was the poorest man.
Miserable.
Miserable.
And when he died, if they ever settled his
he
will.
He had his own film studio. He had a whole medical center.
He had nothing. Yeah. He had nothing.
Nothing. For years, people argued over his will. I think he didn't have children, did he?
No.
He had no children, so all these people around were arguing who gets what. There are about four different versions of the will. So from there, there came a joke on if there's a will, there's a way.
And he had a list of women for women you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Oh, that's not
all
the crazy
it's
people.
It's awesome.
What do you say,
Alan? And Rabbeinu said there's a connection between the lust between the oof and insanity over money. Okay. There's a direct connection.
Again, yeah. Gadol. Mm-hmm. We should be very happy in our place in our life.
So, Bruce, what you said, you didn't get wisdom.
Yeah.
What did you get?
That's what a person has to have in front of his eyes all the time. Oh, shalom. That's what a person has to have in front of his eyes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the richest person in the world. I am. I have a smile. How many people have a smile on their face? Not many. Not many. Not a real smile. Not an internal smile that you're happy with what you're doing in life. Happy. Remember when we were in Chile, in Shlichut, so I used to tell the people, I said, look at you guys, we're the same age. I'm 22, you're 22. You're in your 20s, I'm in my 20s. So who was happier? Me with a wife, two kids, I know what I want to do in life. What are you roaming around the world searching for yourself? So who's more happy? Just tell me, what do you think?
What's like I was telling you earlier, I happened to be at the airport. And of course, I've been reading the book, The Garden of the Moon. And you know,